Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Monday, May 13th, 2024. And today we're answering questions from our mailbag once again. So we'll be discussing challenges of growing your audience, social media, and picking the right equipment for you. So if you don't mind, if you're listening live on Clubhouse, hit the share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen. Share it however Clubhouse lets you. And if you're listening via podcast, share this with a fellow podcaster. And then if you don't mind, give us about a minute and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Happy Monday, podcasting morning chat. Thanks for being here. I hope if you were celebrating Mother's Day, you had a great Mother's Day weekend. We had a quiet Mother's Day weekend. I was just telling Nick that my wife and I, we got up Sunday. I wished her a happy Mother's Day. And then for the most part, it kind of felt like another day. And I feel really bad about it, just being honest. Because I think this is probably the first, this is the first time that my wife has been away from either of her kids for as long as she's been. I think it's been like 4 or 5 months, depending on which of the kids. And I'm not counting my kid because she just saw my kid. And I'm talking about her blood. Her blood. It felt a little sad for her yesterday. So I've been thinking of ways. I feel like I'm responsible here to lift her up a little bit, and I feel like I failed her on Sunday. So I'm looking for ideas to get her up and happy. Not that she was unhappy, she just felt a little off yesterday. So if you have any ideas, let me know. I have a couple, but anyway, let's get down to business. This is the podcasting morning chat, right? And I am your host, Mark Ronick. I know I keep forgetting to do that. I've said I was going to do that. Joined with me on stage so far, we've got Nick Nall back. We've got Billy Thorpe and Ashley Feller. And usually we have more people joining us, more of my co-hosts joining as the morning goes on. So what we're going to do today, we do have the mailbag. We have several really good questions that I have picked out from the bag that we will get to. But first, I thought we'd do something a little different and go back to the icebreakers that we sometimes do. And I'm addressing this question with the intention that it's specifically addressed to our moderators specifically. And of course, if you feel so inclined to answer this question, you are more than welcome, if you're listening live, to come up and join us as well. So I'm going to start with you, Nick. Good morning. I hope you guys had a good Mother's Day for the first Mother's Day of the Nallback household. And today's icebreaker question, Nick, what challenge are you facing with your podcast right now? And what are some steps, if you've even thought of any? Have you thought of any steps to solving it? And if so, what are they? Good morning again, Nick.
Hey, good morning, everybody. You had a great weekend. Yeah, Mother's Day was good. It was pretty relaxed. We went to a brewery, kind of hung out. But yeah, overall, it went well. Now, for the question, the challenge, probably the biggest challenge that I'm facing right now with the AI briefing is sourcing the content, like the news articles themselves. And the reason I say that is because I feel like almost every day there's something about OpenAI, there's something about Google, and those are like the biggest headlines. And yeah, they might get the most clicks or the most attention, but I feel like there's more going on in the world of AI than just what OpenAI and Google is doing. So I'm trying to find other ways to expand my source of information that I could be reporting on for that podcast. Right now I'm using Feedly, but like I said, a lot of the major publications are all about OpenAI and Google. So I don't know. That's my big challenge. I think the one solution that I'm playing with right now, and I haven't nailed it down, is using Perplexity as kind of like that news source. But I'm concerned that essentially you'd have to prompt Perplexity every single day, which isn't an issue. But I'm concerned that I would end up getting duplicate content if I go that route.
Yeah. Thank you, Nick. First, if you wouldn't mind, I know you've shared before, and it's been a while since we've talked, I feel like, since we've talked about Feedly. So can you explain a little bit about what that is and how you're using it?
Yeah. So essentially, Feedly is just like an RSS blog reader, essentially. Like, you can pick different sources that you want to receive their articles from. So anytime, like, The Verge is a pretty good one for me. Anytime they publish articles on a specific topic, in this case, AI news, it will show up in my feed inside Feedly. And we're on like a pro account, so you can set all these different like AI parameters, and it's supposed to like make the feed better and more targeted towards the exact things that you want. But Feedly comes with a whole host of challenges that I'm working through on its own. But it overall, it's pretty slick, because with the AI briefing, how I have the automation set up is I can find an article that I like, and I basically like favorite it to a specific board. You can create all these different boards and things like that. So I have an AI briefing board that I add a post to. And when I add that post to the board, the automation kicks in to turn that into a script for the podcast. So it works really well when I can find the articles that work with it. RSS feeds are kind of funny in that not sometimes you have to click to the website to see the full article. Sometimes the full article shows up in the post itself. And I find a lot of the most interesting ones that I find, it'll give you like a quick little snapshot of the article, but not the full article. So now I'm having to go manually copy that article, paste it into my OpenAI assistant, and then paste that over into my script. And it's like I don't know, it's a process.
Yeah, sounds like one. Yeah. But okay, that's cool. Thank you for explaining that. I figured it may be important, because I know that Feedly can be a really handy tool for any podcaster that's doing their research for their podcast. It doesn't have to be specific to an AI-driven podcast like Nick's. I think anybody could really take advantage of it, correct?
Yeah, 100%. I've seen a lot of people use it in really creative ways. And one thing that I've been toying with the idea, just haven't really mapped it all out, but something that could be really beneficial with Feedly, you're limited to the article that you're reading. So say like Google is having their big I/O conference this week. You can go look up the I/O conference and you can read an article about it. But with something like Perplexity AI, you could ask Perplexity about the Google I/O conference. And that's going to give you a bunch of different sources and compile all of the information from all these sources in one location, versus just being restricted to one article or having to go click around to all these different articles to do your research. So the one idea that I'm kind of toying with is, how do I get that article or that topic into Perplexity AI so that I have a more well-rounded, I'm going to say, article on that given topic? And that could be something really beneficial for anybody here. Perplexity is incredibly powerful, and I can't speak any more highly of it when it comes to doing that kind of research. So, playing with the combination of the two could be a pretty powerful workflow.
Awesome. And I will just say, if that is of interest to you and you're listening to Nick and wondering, really thinking that you have a lot of questions that you need answer, by all means, join us over at Next Gen Podcaster. We will be talking about that actually this week, right, Nick? Tuesday morning, or Tuesday noon Eastern, We are going to be doing an Ask Us Anything. We're going to ask you questions about things you're learning about AI and vice versa. And those tend to go really well with the Next Gen Podcaster calls that we do twice a month. So if you're interested, you can join for free. No strings attached. Just go to nextgenpodcaster.com and join us. And then you can find out how to join those group community calls, which I find extremely valuable. So there you go. I see we have Alex Balish now has joined us as well. Good morning to Alex. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to just ask those co-hosts here, moderators here on stage, if you want to answer today's icebreaker question, I will pose it again. And then if nobody chooses to answer, then we're going to dive right into the mailbag. So the icebreaker question, what challenge are you facing with your podcast or content creating right now? And what steps are you taking, if any, to solve it? Billy, Ashley, Alex, any interest in answering this one?
Hey guys, I have one kind of big thing. Evidently, I got hacked about a year ago on my Facebook ads, and I'm in Facebook jail, and I can't get out of it. They won't let me do ads, so I can't get revenue or do ads, and I've contacted Facebook through their contact support, and they say because my history is too bad, they won't reinstate it. And I'm telling them that I've been hacked. It's not me, but you know what? I don't know. I might have to like dump my Facebook pages and start all over. I don't know what else to do.
I'm wondering if, even if it's temporary, I'm wondering if doing a Facebook or Meta verification could help you. Where you
it won't.
Have you checked?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like going ahead and purchasing their monthly verification plan where you get the blue check and you get additional support as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't think of that. I might have to try that. Because, yeah, like I got a message the other day. Oh, yeah, you monetized on your Instagram, but, we're not giving you the money because you're in Facebook jail.
Ugh, that is frustrating. Yeah.
And there's nobody to talk to.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
Through something kind of similar and through all the research that I've done, and I'm not a Facebook ads expert, and I might be making some of this up, but I feel like I've heard a lot of like Facebook advertisers talk about getting in that kind of situation and being able to set up a brand new ads account. So it would essentially be it's still connected unless the issue is on your page itself. The ad account could still be connected to your page, but you're kind of like starting somewhat with a fresh slate on the ads account itself. That might be something to look into.
Yeah, I mean, like also my personal Instagram has been shut down for about a year because of this. And yeah, I don't even know where to go with it. It's, you know, I'm like done with it. I don't even know. Yeah, but I'll try whatever.
I mean,
I've tried to reach out.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I've tried to reach out to some people that are in the know with Facebook ads, and they're, you know, I mean, basically, I might have to do what you said or just scrap everything, start fresh with all new. Like, this is the problem. I have phone numbers, everything's attached to your phone number. So, I have to get like either a new phone number and new emails. It's ridiculous. And the ads that are up there, I mean, they're still in the history. It's like these stupid ads from like God knows where. And they also have an address, which is some Florida address. And I even said to Facebook, I'm like, guys, this is not me. But there's like a $400 outstanding balance. And I'm like, I'm willing to pay the balance. It won't even give me the opportunity. Everything is checked off. So I can't even pay the balance, even if I wanted to get verified. It says they can't verify my payment, but they won't let me verify it.
Right.
I mean, and the letter that they give you is basically go pound salt. I'll actually copy and paste it and put it in the chat because it's just so funny. Thank you for your understanding. It's like, yeah, okay. Here, I'll put it in the chat. And I asked my wife to read it. I'm like, am I reading this right? And she's like, yep, you are. It's not selling.
Well, if you send it to me, I'll see if I can get it in the show notes at the very least. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's one of those things that's just a not fun issue that is going to haunt me for a while. So
it looks like Jonathan, who has joined us before, we interviewed him a couple weeks ago on social media strategies, and Jonathan is saying, yeah, get verified or create a separate page, which I know you've already created some separate pages, but they are attached, right, to your main account. Right. But maybe the verification, I mean, we don't know for sure, so I don't want to encourage you to do it and spend money.
I'm up for whatever. I mean, how much is the verification a month?
Oh, well, I think you can, I know for, well, I know that that's a whole thing because they just announced new tiers of pricing and some of it's outrageous, but I think it starts as little as around $15 a month.
I think I can hopefully keep
it. I mean, even if it's temporary, right? Just to help get things in moving in the right direction. And then maybe if they get smoothed out, then you don't have to pay for it anymore if you don't want to. Hopefully that's what happens, but we'll have to keep up with you on this, Alex, because I want to try to get this cleared up for you. This is so frustrating. Hackers really can screw us over in so many other ways. I've been hacked before. They didn't get to my ads and play with my ad manager, but they did definitely screw with my account. I lost my original account completely until they just finally ditched it. And then I got to start it over, but I lost all the original content that I had done. So yeah, it's not fun at all to deal with the hackers, because you think you probably have some preconceived notions about what happens when a hacker hacks you, and you find out there are so many other areas that they really make things difficult, like what Alex is explaining. So we wish you luck.
I think that's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, what I don't understand is the way Facebook does its business. I mean, I understand why they kind of do it, because they'd be inundated with more stuff than they know what to do with. But this is just crazy.
Alex, have you had an opportunity to actually chat with someone with Facebook, or has it been like submit your deal?
I could chat with somebody, I think I could get it cleared up in about 3 seconds. But
yeah, I would, because my account got like flagged as like some kind of spam or something like that, and it was so random, but it was like multiple years of my account being like that, and I randomly had the option to actually chat with someone, like Facebook Messenger chat. And they cleared it up in like no time. I know, like Mark and Jonathan were talking about getting verified. I believe you have access to Facebook support if you're verified. So at the very least, you might be able to pay a month, talk to somebody, get it sorted out, and then you can ditch the verification.
I'll try it.
Well, thanks for sharing it, and sorry you're dealing with it. We're here to help as best we can, and I definitely think the verification thing could be a solution. It's worth a try. And Jonathan,
do you verify through Instagram or through Facebook?
I would do Facebook, because that seems to be where it's rooted. That's what was hacked originally, right?
Now the question that I have is, if you get verified, is it personal or business, or it doesn't really matter?
That's a good question. I think you can do both. And it might even be, well, you know what, Alex, I'm going to have to look, because I don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm not sure.
No, I'm not going to do anything right this second.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
Everything is kind of connected. So is it your personal account that gets verified, or is it, you know, because every time I try to look into the issue, it tells me to go back to my original, like my personal account. So, but Jonathan's saying...
Jonathan's going to come up here.
He's going to come up. Thanks. Yeah.
Yep. Jonathan has some ideas and suggestions. And I'm glad you're up here, Jonathan, because there's a question too from the mailbag that I think you might be able to contribute to as well. So good morning to you. Thanks for coming up. What do you have for Alex? Oh, we got a glitch again, Jonathan. You might have to leave and come back. All that build up. Thanks a lot, Clubhouse. We're going to let Jonathan take a second to leave the Clubhouse room, come back. and then we'll see if his glitch is worked out. In the meantime, let me tell you that the Charlotte meetup, not to be confused with Empowered Podcasting, the conference that we're doing at the end of June, the meetup, which is kind of the preliminary party before the party, that's happening May 15th in Charlotte. And I just found out we've got just about 30 people signed up so far. And those 30 people will get a free drink courtesy of Riverside, who is sponsoring this alongside Empowered Podcasting. And then we are also going to throw in a prize. I think it will be a random drawing, and the winner will walk away with a Shure MV7 microphone. I have shared the link here live on Clubhouse. I am including it in the show notes as well. If you are in the Charlotte area or near it, please, by all means, come join us May 15th, 6 p.m. Eastern in Charlotte at Brewers. And you can find all the information with the link provided in the show notes or here on Clubhouse. Thank you for allowing me to indulge and kill some time for Jonathan. Jonathan, good morning. Do we have you now?
Let's see. Do you have me now?
We do. Yes.
All right. Alex, I would get verified on Facebook because it doesn't cross over. The verification is for one app or the other. So I'd get verified on Facebook, and that will get you a dedicated chat for support. And I would just open a chat with Facebook, and they should be able to help you out. And if they can't, then creating a separate account. I use separate Gmails and Google Voice when I need to create a separate account. And that's worked for me before for clients. So hopefully that gets you where you need to be.
One other question. Do you have to attach your Google Voice to your phone?
No.
Or is that you don't, right? Mm-mm.
I don't attach it to my phone.
I already have a Google Voice number for my business, and I just want to make sure that I'm not it just didn't seem like it wanted to work. But all right, I will do that today and we'll see what happens.
And the beauty is that the Google Voice numbers, phone numbers are free. So even if you had to start a new one, it shouldn't be a big issue. So
No. Absolutely.
Yeah, so you should be fine there, Alex. Definitely give that a try. Let us know what happens. And thanks for sharing as well. I'm sure there are others that have dealt with something like this or similar. All right. And you're still unmuted, Alex, FYI.
Yeah, by now. I realize that right now.
Okay, no problem. All right, so now we're going to go to the mailbag. And since, Jonathan, you're up here, I'm going to jump to this one first. This is the one that I was alluding to, the social media question. Priya sends this, and Priya says, I've noticed that the interaction on my social media has been a bit flat, despite consistent podcast and social media content releases. I enjoyed your episode with Jonathan, and I'm going to be implementing some of his suggestions, like the 8-second videos. What other strategies have worked for you in boosting listener engagement on platforms like LinkedIn, TikTok, and Instagram? And can I get away with posting the same content across all platforms? So, Jonathan, if you don't mind, I'm going to direct that one at you first and then see what everyone else here on stage has to say. So, good morning to you again.
All right. Good morning again. Well, I will say, let me first address, can you use the same across platforms? Because yes, you can, but I don't suggest you do it on the same day. Now, with podcasting, it's a little bit different because you're not going to technically be launching anything major that you need a ton of people to know about multiple times. But remember that people need to see something 7, 8, 21 times on social media before they actually register with it. And only 10% of your audience sees your content anyway. So post, I usually suggest a 10-day stagger. So you post something one day on Facebook, 10 days later on Instagram. With other content that works, that's going to be a very, directed, whatever she's podcasting on. But in general, I recommend entertaining content. Content that's going to entertain in some way, especially since most people are going to social media now to, unwind from their day or get you know, just some relief from whatever's going on, whether it's taking a break at work or whatever. So entertaining content is a huge thing that people should be using. Inspiring content, and then educational content. And I would say, you know, anything that you can pull out of your podcast that fits into any of those categories, whether it's a quote from the guest or whatever you have, I would use it, but you got to know your audience. So that's something that a lot of people fall into. They don't necessarily know the audience that's listening to their podcast. And if that's the same as what's watching, you know, what's engaging with their content. So knowing that audience and connecting with them as to what they want to see, know, and what's doing well. So I'd need to know a little bit more about the podcast to give her exact ideas, mm-hmm. but that's where I would go.
Yep. I appreciate that, Jonathan. And yeah, I'm with you. And I personally hadn't been incorporating that staggered plan, and I appreciate hearing that. It might be something I want to try just because I'm looking to freshen up my strategy. So I think that could be a cool way of doing it. Yeah, just spreading it out across the platforms over time. I see Ashley Feller has something. Yeah, go for it, Ashley.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to the whole staggered approach. I think that's a great idea because it does take several times for someone to see something. One thing that's helped me is through Meta, you can duplicate posts. So you can go through and see what kind of posts are performing well and then just duplicate that post and maybe tweak the hook. I would say, you know, maybe think about what kinds of hooks you're using when you're doing your copywriting. And I found that hooks that tend to be more conversational seem to get more engagement.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ashley. Thank you for saying that. Definitely the more conversational tone and approach is one that I'm working hard on myself. I notice and I know that a lot of my content, particularly the video content, feels a little too, I don't want to say forced, but it just doesn't feel as natural. And so I'm working on that more natural tone, more conversational and not as polished. Since we got you up here, Jonathan, you know, that question about posting to the same platforms, I know that there is something to be said about making content more catered to the platform itself, right? Like, for example, I'm not doing this anyway, but hypothetically, I'm probably not doing TikTok dances on TikTok and then taking that video and putting it on LinkedIn, right? So what are some things we should consider, Jonathan? You know, if we're going to post, if we have a strategy to post to multiple platforms, and let's use my example, right? TikTok and LinkedIn, are there differences? Are there things that we should be considering before we just go ahead and post it blindly?
So yes, there's things you should be considering. And remind me to go back to the conversational hooks.
Okay.
So you should be considering, one, the nature of the platform. What type of people are on the platform? Is it a younger demographic? Is it an older demographic? And then I always just recommend, like, you don't want to post content, even on Facebook, that has a ton of hashtags. You don't want to post content that isn't specific to the platform, where the natives on that platform are going to go, oh, this just came over from, you know, blah, because they're not going to feel like you're paying attention to them. And your audience everybody wants to feel seen. So when you ignore the basics of the platform, I would say you're making people feel like they're not seen. So just basic things like taking the hashtags off, like making sure the hook is speaking to the right audience, making sure, you know, if your business on LinkedIn, you're speaking business on LinkedIn. If the language you use on LinkedIn is different than the language you use on TikTok, then making sure that you're kind of just editing those basic things so it feels comfortable on the platform. If you're cringing at your own self when you're looking at your content on one platform or the other, then maybe you should probably edit it a little bit. So that's that, Mark. And then for conversational hooks, think about what you'd say to, you know, your friends at brunch. What is something that you'd want to engage with your friends at brunch? Because those are the things that people are engaging with on social media. They want to have friends on social media. They want to connect with real people, real humans on social media. So
yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
I like that. I like that idea. John, are you noticing what's starting to work? What I used to say a lot to avoid, I used to say avoid making posts about you, right? In other words, really just try to direct to the audience, speak to them. What are their troubles and how are you helping them with those? Or how does your podcast address those things, right? But I'm starting to notice, and I've been practicing this strategy, and it could be LinkedIn specific, but I'm noticing that when I post about me, my first two lines, if I say, instead of posting about me knowing what my audience's struggles are, and I'm just saying, here's what I struggle with, I notice that I'm getting more engagement that way. Is anybody else, besides even Jonathan, but is anybody else, are you noticing that?
I would say if it's... What is probably likely doing is making you more human. And if they are having these problems just like you are, then it's giving them something that's relatable to connect with, which is why the engagement would be up. But it depends on how you're handling it also. Like if you're saying, hey, I'm having this problem in a way that's, you know, friendly, connecting, all of that, it could be just that in and of itself that's getting the engagement.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely what I'm noticing. And I'm noticing, yeah, if I start my current strategy on LinkedIn, and I'm just testing right now, I'm not putting pressure on myself. I am just, the only thing I'm telling myself to do is post consistently. My goal is to post at least once a day, 5 days a week. Sometimes I hit it, sometimes I don't. But what I'm noticing is that, yeah, those first two lines, if I express what my current struggle is and I make those first two lines visible, in other words, they don't get cut off, they don't get truncated because they're too long, they're more or less short and sweet, I'm finding that my engagement goes way up when I do that. So that's a specific strategy that I'm playing with right now on LinkedIn, and I'm going to probably test it elsewhere as well. And I like the conversational approach thing. And I'm also noticing that sometimes if I feel like I'm shoehorning that hook in, if I feel like it's just no matter what I say, it just doesn't feel natural. It just feels off to me. I like to put that hook in as text on the screen instead. And maybe it's a question that somebody has asked me and I'm addressing that question, or it's just that topic that I know if a podcaster sees those words, it would be more likely for them to stop on that scroll and hear what I have to say about it. Do you notice that approach, Jonathan? Do you see that working?
It is working. And yeah, I would say anything that you can grab their attention with, even if it's different than what you're starting your caption with, is going to be a great way to get more engagement. And you can be controversial, you can be, you know, whatever you want to say, especially if it's something like a hot take you have on podcasting. That's a great way to get people to engage, even if it's, you know, just a little bit more controversial than you believe it needs to be. So anything like that, especially on Instagram and TikTok, is going to help a lot.
Awesome. Thank you, Jonathan. And there he goes. Back in the audience. Oh, he's coming back up. Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate that. And Ashley, Alex, Nick, if you guys have anything, now's your chance. Otherwise, I'm going to go to the next question from the mailbag. And I will also remind you, if you are listening live, by all means, you are welcome to come up and join us here on stage, help answer the questions, or if you have your own questions, come on up and join us, and we'll be happy to do our best to answer those questions. In the meantime, I'm going to read this for all of you, and hopefully one of you will answer. I won't direct it to one of you specifically up here on stage. This comes from Miguel. Miguel says, I initially thought bringing in guests would not only add value to my episodes, but also consistently boost my audience. While I do see a temporary bump in numbers sometimes with or from some guests, it usually fizzles out quickly. Am I missing something here? What strategies can I employ to better capitalize on guest appearances to increase my podcast's reach? Pardon me for butchering the end of that. So yeah, so basically Miguel thought bringing on guests would help increase or grow his audience, and he gets a temporary bump, but it doesn't seem to last. So are there strategies that Miguel can employ to better capitalize on guest appearances, or does Miguel need to just hang it up and say, look, if I'm going to have a guest on, they're only coming in to add value, to add to a conversation. They're not there to bring in their audience to my podcast. And I see Soda has joined us up here on stage. Soda, did you want to answer that question? And I think we have the glitch again, Soda.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. I like this question because, first of all, I don't think we should be having guests on to get their audience. I think we should have guests on to cover a subject better than we could cover by ourselves. But I have noticed that when I ask questions in a way that really makes the guest look good and can be a valuable resource for them sharing what they do, especially if they're a coach or something like that, and they explain the importance of something, they're more likely to share. And of course, you know, I do my little cartoons, and when they really like those, that gets some of them share that a lot as well. So just providing, like, if you really do want them to get some of their audience, just making it so it's worthwhile for them. So it's not just them doing a charity. It's actually going to help them, because otherwise there's no point in them sharing.
Thank you, Soda. Yeah, I think that's a big one. I think going that extra mile, giving that guest something to remember you by, does leave a lasting impression. And I was just thinking about your designs that you do for your guests. And maybe, I don't know if this is something you've tried, or I don't even know if you want this suggestion, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. Even including some text that says something like, I was on, and then enter podcast name here. I think that would be cool, because then hopefully they share that. And then that gets some more eyes, or at least some more interest on, ooh, what is this podcast?
Ooh, I like that idea. I'll try that out.
Yeah, I would share that for sure. I saw Ashley and Alex had something, so let's go to Ashley first. Go for it, Ashley. Good morning again.
Yeah, I love Soda's approach with doing the artwork. And I think, you know, the whole idea of providing the guests with some sort of memento is a great idea. And something that might be able to be paired with this might work out well. You can make a document, you can make a media kit for your guests that includes sample emails, sample blog posts, sample social media posts, those kinds of things, the QR code link to their episode. And you could come up with somewhat of an extended social media content calendar with them. Say, hey, let's do these additional pieces of content, but let's spread them out a little more. That way your guest appearance gets a little bit more visibility than the initial week per se.
Thank you, Ashley. And I was thinking, as you were sharing that, I was thinking, and I'm pretty sure I've shared this before, the idea that if you're going to make content that you are hoping your guest is going to share, brand that content to match their branding, if they have branding to match, right? So if, like, my colors tend to be, well, they are black and blue, and I lean on blue mainly, and I use yellow to accent it. But if my guest has got, say, you know, pinks and whites, I'm going to make content that matches their brand colors and give it to them specifically in an email. Hey, made this for you to share on social media. Then I would give them a couple of easy, really simple instructions, what I want them to do with it. If you're going to share it on Instagram, please add me as a collaborator, blah, 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 if that's what you want. But and don't give them a million instructions. If you go over two or three, I believe, in my experience, they're less likely to do anything with it because it feels like a lot of work. So that's why if you can do as much as you can ahead of time, when you hand it off to them, it's got everything they possibly need, like their branding colors, they're going to be more apt to share it. And Yvonne came up here too. So Alex, I'm going to come to you after Yvonne since she's joined us from the audience. Priority. So Yvonne, good morning to you. Happy late Mother's Day to you. And I should have said that to Soda and Ashley as well. So happy Mother's Day to all three of you. And Yvonne, what did you want to add to the conversation?
Thanks. Well, it was definitely in response to, you know, whether or not to bring guests on to bump the numbers. And yeah, I mean, that is definitely a benefit, you know, is borrowing somebody else's audience. But I guess it depends on your podcast, whether or not your topic, if it adds value to have that conversation, and I can speak really only for mine, it's really the whole point of my podcast is to have other people on to share their stories, and that is the point of my content. But I will say, in addition to that, I have learned over, I'm almost coming on 4 years here with the podcast, I have learned that the guests are potential friends. They're potential collaborators. And there's a whole lot more to be gained from having somebody on the podcast than just the promotion that they can provide to help get your numbers up. I look for other ways to stay connected with them if there's a good vibe. you know, there's people that have been on, and I'm like, oh, you know, I also do this Salty Sisters thing with my friend Kat Corchado. Maybe we could have you come on as a guest for that. Or, you know, I'm a roving reporter for Good Morning Entrepreneurs, and I talk about midlife entrepreneurship on that show. And I could do, can we do a quick interview for that? And, you know, just look for other ways to provide them with other points of contact and other bits of exposure. And it has developed into relationships that are ongoing and collaborative, and it's awesome.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Yvonne. Yeah. I think it's important to note the relationships that can form from having a guest on there. Yeah, for sure. Because and then those friendships, it gets much easier to start sharing each other's content. They're more inclined to do it. Alex, did you want to add anything?
No, you guys all kind of covered it all.
Okay, well then I want to ask you real quick, how was the Friday evening chat this past Friday? Anything interesting?
I'll let Soda answer that. It was a little light on people, but that's okay. You know, we just had a nice little conversation. And Soda, how did it go?
That's right, because Soda, you were going to reveal, I think it was a job offer that you received, and you were going to reveal that Friday. Are you able to reveal it now here for the rest of us here in the morning chat?
What? Oh, my job offer.
Yes.
My job offer is for the Space Force.
Ooh.
I think that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Are you able to share a little bit about what it is?
I will be the leader of tiny humanoid creatures.
Ooh.
Known as children.
Oh, really? I was going to say, because I hear a tiny humanoid in the background right there. Okay, cool. Congratulations. All right. So let's see. Alex already, he said he's going to pass. So then we're going to go to the next question from Olivia. Olivia says, I've had my interview-based podcast for 18 months now, and things are going well overall. My audience is growing into a community, and I found a couple of revenue streams that seem to be working for me. I've been recording with the Shure MV7 and my computer, and it's worked well, but I'm intrigued by these mixers like the Rodecaster Duo or the P P4. I think she means, yeah, the Zoom P4 is what Olivia means. How do I know when it's time to buy one, and which mixer should I get? There are so many options these days. And is Dan still in here? No, darn it. I know Dan has just purchased recently the Rodecaster Duo. Dan, a regular participant here in the Morning Chat, regular audience member, and he actually interviewed me using the Rodecaster Duo. And I know he was having a little bit of trouble initially getting it set up, just understanding all the settings and where things are and how to do certain things. But I think he's figured it all out. I think he's happy with it. He seemed to be when I was chatting with him about it. And I'll include a Rodecaster Duo link in the show notes. The Rodecaster Duo, if you're familiar with the Rodecaster Pro, it's basically a baby version of it. It's a smaller version. Instead of things like having four microphone outputs, I believe it has two. It's a little smaller in size. And it still has those little sound pads to do things like, you know, how I play the music in the morning. I use my sound pad and all that good stuff. It has a lot of great stuff. It's a little pricier. I believe they're going for like $500, whereas if you get something like the Zoom P4, that one's going to cost you around $150. And I know Alex has been using it. Alex, overall, what's your experience with the PodTrack P4?
It's got some really great things, and it's got some things that are a little, I don't know. The only reason I use the mixer is to podcast in the same room with my daughter. I mean, yes, the sound pad is great, and it records, but like, I don't know. Like, I'm on the fence with it because, and this is mixers in general. I mean, maybe because you have your certain way of doing things. And, you know, I usually do it on the computer via Zoom or StreamYard or whatever the online platform is. And doing it this way, it's just a little bit more uncomfortable. But the nice thing, and this is what I love about it, is it's very mobile. For what it is, it's a great piece of equipment. I just don't like the output that it does. And I don't mean the output of the sound. I'm saying the files, because nothing is labeled the way I think it is, so it's frustrating. But all in all, it's a great piece of equipment. I love the fact that I could do a remote in like 3 seconds, plug it all in, and I'm ready to go. The mobility of the P4, it has battery life, but you really can't trust the battery life because it just uses a lot of power. So you have to plug it in, which, again, that's not really a criticism. It's just it is what it is. I had to replace it once because it was doing something funky. But all in all, I mean, I'd give it an 8 out of 10, and maybe that's just my opinion. I it's like your computer. 90% of the people don't use the computer the way it should be. So maybe I'm not as knowledgeable. I only do the 4 or 5 things that I do with it. So I'll let Jonathan speak up because I know he probably uses it more than I do.
And that's just it with those devices. With something like the P4, you're using it for, say, 2, 3, 4 very specific reasons. One being, A, it's remote. B, you need it because you're recording with somebody else physically present in the room. Much more challenging to try to do that via USB and a computer with 2 microphones, trying to plug that in and record that. It's not as easy as you would think it is to make that happen. So having this third-party device really does help. And yeah, Alex is right. It's small. I mean, you can hold it in your hand.
The one thing, I mean, and this is where I started the podcast. My daughter was downstairs and I was upstairs and we did it on StreamYard/Zoom. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, that just might be easier. Yeah. I know that sounds awful, but it's just, you know, it's like a guitarist. The way I equate mixers is it's like a guitarist trying to tune a guitar. It's never in tune. Like, they're always kind of fiddling with it, and that's the kind of way I feel about mixers. But again, I know little about playing guitar, and I know even less about mixing, so I'll let the professionals talk.
But that's why, Alex, it makes it so relatable, because I think we have a lot of people listening that probably feel very similar, have very similar frustrations. Jonathan, you wanted to add something? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I use the Rodecaster Duo, and once I got past the setup issues that I had with it, and I actually had to send it back the first time, it actually is a really great product. My co-host uses a P4, also a great product. The only thing is sometimes her gain is way off compared to what I'm doing right here. It's way off. And when we record through Riverside, so we tend to, you know, be able to correct that before we get started. But it is a really, for what you need, the P4 is a great place to start, because the Rodecaster Duo is $549, I believe, which is only $100 less than the Pro.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And I was thinking about something Alex said too. Alex, you were talking about, oh yeah, the files and the way that it names. I agree. I was noticing when I was just a couple weeks ago doing this very show from another location using that P4, I was getting frustrated trying to find the files because I had old files saved there. And the way that the file naming works on the P4 is where it gives you the dates that you're actually recording, the date and time. And that timestamp, if you're not using batteries, every time you fire up your P4, it resets and it loses the date, right? But if you have batteries in it, it remembers the date, and then that makes it much more easy to go through the list of saved files and find today's date with today's time. It makes it much easier to find. But yeah, if you're not using batteries, that's like the only big advantage I see to using batteries with the P4, because to your point, they eat up batteries very quickly.
One other thing about the P4, and it may be like this with the Rodecaster, I do not know, because I've never used the product. But like, so I have special sounds that I may use. And so I do my intro, you press a button, it works, right? The problem with that is, one, you got to attach it, which it doesn't, it's a little wonky. But what I hate about it is it puts it as its own file. So therefore, I still have to input it into the podcast. So it's not even worth using it unless I'm using it live, if that makes sense.
I think that's
the one thing. I don't think the Rodecaster does that, but if it does,
it doesn't. And I think that could be just a setting issue, Alex, because I know when I was doing the Podcasting Morning Chat, I would play the music and it was just burned right into that one file recording of me with all of you talking about whatever we were talking about that week.
One last thing, and I'm sorry for dominating about the P4.
Mm-mm.
I will say there is some really great videos that Zoom has put out, and it's helped me with a ton of troubleshooting. But unfortunately, any video that you find never addresses the problem that you have. It's always like it skirts around it because that's just the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, all in all, you, like Jonathan said, you guys said, you put it in the palm of your hand, it's plug and play, it's pretty simple. Again, I have some unique situations, and I don't think they're unique. When you're going live, and maybe Ashley can kind of attest to this, I used one of the channels as the speaker, but what I did was, and I think this was on me, the speakers were behind me instead of in front of me, so it got picked up by everything, which I now learn is not what you're supposed to do. But other than that, I mean, it does have a lot of advantages, but I really want to get a Rodecaster because, you know, who doesn't want a new piece of equipment? But I also want to pay my rent.
Yeah, yeah. The Rodecaster Duo definitely feels and looks cooler For sure. If that's an important.
I mean, hello. Yeah, it does look cooler. But plus, more importantly, it's just. I will say the four channels for the price is insanely awesome. And you can really do a lot, but I for a first time podcaster looking for, or for anybody that's looking for a mixer, you can't go wrong with it. But if you have the extra change, then go for the Rodecaster. And what I'm looking to do is, and I've been doing this for a while, is just go on a Facebook Marketplace, because there is a ton of great equipment out there that people want to dump. Because they said, oh, I want to be a podcaster this week. And then they just never do anything with it. And then they end up wanting to just get what they get. So I can't stress enough, if you want to upgrade your equipment and you don't want to spend a lot of money, I've bought Mac Minis for like $300 and they're normally $500 to $600. You know, I've bought a whole bunch of different stuff that is out there. So please use the platform.
Yeah. I agree with you. And since you called out Ashley, just want to check in with Ashley. Ashley, any other thoughts around the P4 or using a mixer in general? Just want to make sure if there was something you had that you got a chance to share.
I would just say, think about what you're trying to do. Like, for example, if you're going to be in a situation where you and your co-host are in the same room, it would be a good idea to have a mixer like a P4 or a Rodecaster, depending on how many channels you need. But if you're going to be out in the field doing a local podcast, you're going to need something that's a little bit more compact and something that you can connect an external battery to as well. So I guess the main thing I'm trying to say is think about your situation and the portability of what you need.
Yes, agreed. And yeah,
and
go ahead.
I just want to say this also. Ashley has been invaluable when it comes to remote type equipment. And so does Cynthia on the Friday night chat. Not to promote that, but those two ladies, they do it. And, you know, I value her opinion for two reasons. One, she does remotes, but that's the first part. The second part is she's doing music, so it has to be good. And that's the same thing with what's his name? He hasn't been around. Jeff. I mean, that stuff has to be right, because sound is important when you're dealing with music. So that's why I went to her recommendation. And but whatever she says goes in my book when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it helps to trust people that have the experience, that's for sure. Yeah. So if I'm, let's see, this was Olivia. Yeah, if I'm Olivia, I know one of the questions was something along the lines of how do I know what to get and when to get it? And I would say, I think something inexpensive, at least in comparison, like the P4, I think you can get that. It sounds like you are in a position where you can get that. It sounds like you're already starting to monetize. Your audience is growing. You've been podcasting for 18 months. And even if you right now aren't planning on, say, maybe adding a co-host, bringing on more in-person interviews, having a device like that for a relatively inexpensive cost, I think sets you up for the future. You're able to have this device and it's able to grow with you, right? So now you could add three more people when you're ready. You can plug in three microphones to it. So there are advantages to setting yourself up with a piece of equipment you may not need right this second. But if you are in a position financially to do it, if you see that your podcast is moving in a direction that you were aspiring to, it could be a great time to do that. Get to know it now before when you really need it and you're starting to feel pressure to get to know how to use it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. This has been a great conversation. I'm enjoying these mailbag questions. Please keep them coming. You can do that at our website at podpage.com/PMC or you can email me mark@ironicmedia, and ironic is spelled with a CK. You can send me that mailbag question direct or use the website. Whatever it is, just we want to hear from you. We want your questions. We're happy to answer them here. And if you want to join us live, you're always welcome to join us live on Clubhouse. You can find the ways to do that in the show notes. And until tomorrow, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.